Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Mick McCarthy.
What?
I was typing on my Google Doc saying Morata is right. I didn't think he played in the Prem. Yes.
The point's been declared.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Proper value from a proper bookmaker. Every day at Cheltenham. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
Well, a very good morning and welcome along to the Cheltenham Show with William Hill here on Off the Ball. I'm Tom Malone and I'll be joined by John Duggan as well on course after what was one of the most dramatic days we have seen at Cheltenham. And John, just to add to the incredible drama yesterday, we have snow on the ground this morning. Is that correct?
Merry Cheltenham, Tom. Yeah, good morning. When I arrived here at the race course about 7 a.m. this morning, it was coming down and it enveloped the course for a little while, and now then it stopped. It'll clear by, you know, mid-morning, and we'll be fine for racing today. But it was almost harking back to the Beast from the East. And I remember watching when I was young the 1987 Gold Cup, which was won by the Thinker. I was, what, 8 years of age, and they had to delay the race for about an hour and a half, the Gold Cup, and it was raced in the snow. The Thinker won for Ridley Lamb and Arthur Stevenson. That was one of my early Cheltenham viewing experiences as an eight-year-old, and not going to have that this year, but just nice to see the climate change is alive and well. Warm and sunny here on Sunday, and then snowing here this morning. Don't think it's going to really change the ground that much. I thought the ground was quite decent yesterday. I mean, the times were good. They were just below standard. And I think by tomorrow, Friday, if the, you know, weather continues to be dry, we're looking for good ground horses. But it'll probably be around the same, if just a little bit more slow and dead than it was yesterday. But I think it's not really a heavy ground festival.
No, there's no way. But just think of, John, if there are eight-year-olds watching yesterday, it'll live long in the memory, much like you and the Thinker.
Yeah.
Because I mean, maybe we'll just start from the top quickly, because the script was perfect for the opening race of the day. We had Coppock Deport and Michael O'Sullivan and the Cork connection, and a wonderfully observed situation that worked out perfectly as well, with a Cork man on board and a family from Cork owning the horse.
That's right, yes. Charlie McCarthy and Fermoy, that's the family that's behind Coppock Deport in terms of ownership. Paul Tennant is from Middleton, the jockey, and Michael O'Sullivan was from just outside Mallow. So it was apt, it was fitting, after the tribute was paid, with the jockeys all getting outside the weigh room, and then the minutes applause, which was beautifully held by the race goers, and then the jockeys as well. And then Michael's image on the screen, just near the winner's enclosure. And then as well, then just before the race, about an hour later, just before the Supreme Novices Hurdle, which was named in his honour. And yeah, it was a Cork victory, was just very, very fitting in his memory. And it was just a beautiful touch for Paul Tennant to point to his armband, which had the Cork crest on it. And it's going to be tough for a long time to come. Michael should have been here yesterday. Like, Jazzy Matty runs today, Marine National runs today, and you would think that he should be here, and he's not. So it's very sad. It's very difficult to get your head around. And all racing can do is put its best foot forward, and I think it did that in a very classy way yesterday.
Yeah,
and it's nice that his relatives were here, and that his brother was here as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Just but from that moment on, the script was well and truly ripped up. We had the Arkle. I mean, where Jangobai came from, he traded at 320-odd to 1. You know, Majbra's jumping let him down, and he was still only beaten, what, less than a length. A brilliant run from Keith Dunne, whose horse, who looked like he'd nab victory before, Nico de Boinville just reenacted the champ victory from a couple of years ago and just came from nowhere.
Yeah, and it just shows how out of sync I am, in that the only horse that I tipped yesterday was the one I didn't put up for my charity bet, which was Django Bay without Mashbra. So there you go. That just shows probably one of the worst decisions I've ever made in a race course. But yeah, it was like the fact that I'm glad you mentioned it, Tom, because it was almost completely forgotten about with what happened in the Champion Hurdle, because Mashbra had the race at mercy, but you have to jump. The fence is there to be jumped. The Arkle takes no prisoners, and maybe he is a horse that could be doing better over further in time. Still a very talented animal, but the Arkle chase maybe just... I remember War of Attrition ran in an Arkle chase and was nowhere, and then next year won the Gold Cup. I wouldn't be surprised if Manchester takes a similar route. But Django Bay is a great jumper. Probably wasn't going to even run in this race at all if Sergino had been here. And look, I think the story of yesterday was if you're not in, you can't win. And that was true with Golden Ace as well in the Champion Hurdle.
I mean, John, like obviously the any power fall in Cheltenham in the Mayor's Hurdle will be like live long in the memories, one of the biggest moments. But my goodness, that Champion Hurdle yesterday. Two horses to come down who'd never fallen in public before, at the times they did as well. Just, it was just the most dramatic race. I mean, even you were there, I can't imagine what it was like, but Racing TV only gave 90 seconds coverage to the following race, just such was their reaction to the Champion Hurdle.
Well, that's it. I think there was... There's probably four plot twists. So I said three, and I kind of come to my mind that there's four plot twists. The first plot twist is that Constitution Hill falls 4 out, right? She's the odds-on favourite, Nikki Henderson. I mean, you think about all the time that's being spent guessing and wondering if Constitution Hill is even going to run in the thing. And then it falls, right? So there's all that build-up about Constitution Hill, who was unbeaten 10 out of 10. The second thing is that Brighter Days Ahead is in front, and this is meant to be a match, remember? So Brighter Days Ahead, you think, is going to win. And the fact that she then is out of gas, and obviously she wasn't right. She was distressed, and we hope she's okay. So that's the second thing, that she's not going to feature. She's not going to feature because State Man had obviously been showing his old sparkle on the gallops with Paul Tennant and Willie Mullins, and they decided to go for this. And State Man then cruises up on her outside and then takes it up, going to the final hurdle, goes long on it, crumples like almost head first. Thankfully, the horse is okay, if a bit sore. And he was 9-1. I mean, it would have been the best 9-1 shots you'd ever get in your life. And it's all left then to Golden Ace to pick up the pieces for English trainer Jeremy Scott and Orkin Williams at 25-1 from Burdett Road. 1-2 from the Kingwell Hurdle at Wincanton over a 440-1 double. And if you're not in, you can't win. And I know they will make their reasoning around Lassie Mouth not running in the Champion Hurdle. But Lassie Mouth should have been in the Champion Hurdle, in my view, because I suppose you can't be afraid of one horse. You can't be afraid of two or three or four horses, because anything can happen in racing, because the fences and the hurdles are there to be jumped in the sport. So, look, Rich Ritchie and Willie Mullins, it's especially Rich Ritchie, you know, it's they're paying their money and they're taking a chance, and it's Willie's job to get winners for Rich. But it's just a bit disappointing that Lassie Mouth turned the Mayor's Hurdle into procession win. We might have seen her win the Champion Hurdle yesterday, but look, they pay the bills, they make the decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's move on to today's action then, because we have another absolute cracker. Not that there weren't still loads more storylines from yesterday, just such a brilliant dramatic day at the Cheltenham Festival. The Queen Mother Champion Chase, the feature race of the afternoon, goes to post at 4 o'clock. Obviously, John Bond's your odds-on favourite. He's beaten all before him pretty much in this division as a champion chaser, but he hasn't done it at Cheltenham, John. He's come here twice. Obviously, last year with he was a non-runner with the doubts over Nicky Henderson's yard. He was beaten by El Fabiolo in an Arkle. He's beaten by Constitution Hill in a Supreme. That's not bad form, but are people kind of making too much of that, given what he's done elsewhere in his career?
He's even money at the moment. He's drifting at the moment in the market, Tom. I think people are making too much out of a John Bond's Cheltenham form. He has won at the track. He's won. It's the only place he's ever been beaten, but he has won at the track before. I think of the times he got beaten, Elixir de Nuts. He made a mistake in that race.
He still nearly won that day, despite that result, yeah. Despite that mistake, yeah.
Yeah. He ran into, a peak El Fabiolo, and then he ran into Constitution Hill. So I think this Cheltenham thing is a bit overplayed with John Bond. He's the highest rated by £5. The ground is not an issue. He's really disinformed this season. I think he's a worthy favourite. I mean, AP McCoy, I spoke to him last week at the official preview night, and he said it's the one horse he'd like to ride at the festival is John Bond. So John Bond is a difficult horse to oppose. I hope he wins in a way. I think it'd be good for Nicky Henderson to have a winner here. Marie Nationale, I think, is coming to himself. I think this is his time to put his best performance in since the Supreme Novices Hurdle. I like the way he ran behind Solness the last time at Leopardstown. Solness has been turned inside out, absolutely inside out. He's got up £30 over the last while. He's won from the front. JJ Slevin has told me that they're going to go. He's going to go straight out from the front. This is going to be a breakneck speed that JJ Slevin's going to pursue on Solness from the get-go, and that's going to make it a very exciting spectacle to watch, because that will force, if Solness is jumping well, that'll force other horses into mistakes potentially. An Urgeman, bit of money for him at 11 years of age, dual champion chase winner. Captain Guinness won the race last year. Found a 50, was a consistent horse last year. I think Liberty Hunter and Calixios can probably rule out, but John Bond should win. But I think it's a decent enough champion chase. People are saying that it's not. I think it's all right.
Yeah, and I suppose that having Solness in it adds an interesting element to it as well, doesn't it? Because it's a little bit similar to the Champion Hurdle yesterday, and I suppose what happened in the Champion Hurdle yesterday makes us think, oh, well, maybe there could be more drama here. Given we know we're going to have someone forcing the pace. I personally am not sure he can get home up the hill the same way he kind of got away with it in Leopardstown, but just the way the race is going to run, do you think anyone's probably vulnerable?
What always it does, it turns vulnerabilities into horses that don't jump with enthusiasm and also jump economically. So Captain Guinness, I think, is I can definitely rule out. I can rule out Calixios, I can rule out Liberty Hunter. I just think it'll put pressure. Like John Bond, on the whole, his jumping's pretty good. Remember he beat Edward Stone at Cheltenham there in a kind of like an early season race a couple of seasons ago. I thought he was excellent. So I think it's not about exposing vulnerabilities. It actually, I think, suits the horses that come off the pace that have the class. I think the two of those are John Bond and Marie National. I think the market's right. But Solness, sometimes when horses get turned inside out, they just keep going and going and improving and improving. It wouldn't be surprised if he won.
Yeah, that's very fair. And plus, John, as well, we have the beautiful thing, which is eight places, so you can have an each-way bet if you do fancy a Solness or a Marine Nationale or a Found a 50. It's the dream, really, that we didn't have in the Champion Hurdle. The only element we didn't have in the Champion Hurdle yesterday.
Well, Johnny Ward's maxim is always look for eight runners, and it does provide each-way value, because if you think your horse is going to get in the first three and it's not John Bond, it's an each-way bet to nothing, so that is a positive.
Who are you sticking up? Are you putting up anyone against John Bond?
Marie Nationale each way is in my charity selection there, Tom, today. So Marie Nationale is the one I'm going for. Who are you going for?
I like Found a 50. I think that form of his Navan race has worked out okay. Obviously, beat Senecia in third, and he beat Solness that day. Obviously, Solness turned inside out since. But I think there's something in Found a 50. I did a preview a couple of months ago with Noel Moore, and he was looking forward to the season, and he actually suggested he could be one of his horses to follow. So, it didn't go right for him last time out, but his form from Navan is very solid, and he's a bit of a price. And like you say, we have that beautiful thing that's eight runners as well. We move on to the turners, John, because we'll have another. This could be a match. It's an absolute crack, a real kind of Ireland versus England vibe to it as well, with Final Demand and the New Lion. The New Lion's form has taken a few knocks. Suggesting the Final Demand should go up in trip. But what do you make of it?
I think it's competitive. It's not really a betting race, to be honest. I've avoided this when I'm looking at my tips today. I mean, Final Demand is a very, very good horse, right? He showed a strong turn of foot to win well at Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival. He's yet to run in quick round, but he's the highest rated here off 154. Don't think the hill will be a problem for him at all. The New Lion, we don't really know. Four from four, possibly the best horse Dan Skelton's ever had. Owned by JP McManus. Won the Challow at Newbury, which is traditionally a terrible trial for this. But he's improved. Proving the ground will not be an issue. The yellow clay is attracting market support here. I was looking when I was going through the odds just a few moments ago. It's for the 120 here, this opening Turner's Novices Hurdle, and the yellow clay has been backed. So I think the yellow clay, I mean, in the bumper last year, he didn't seem to appreciate the hill. Now, it might have been the fact that it was a shorter trip and he was a younger horse, but he does like Navan, which is a similar course to Cheltenham. I think his best display was in the Lawlers of Nace the last time. There's a couple of JB McManus-owned horses in the William Mullins yard that are probably outsiders that could do well, Cade Dawthy and Kel Histoire. But I... Is it a match? Potter's Charm's got a bit of money for him today. If you could forget his last run, he's not a bad horse. But I think it's one of these races just to watch. And look, I think there's as much excitement almost in Final Demand in the Willie Mullins yard as there is in Kopech Desbordes. I think he's a very good horse, Final Demand. It's just, once again, the occasion, the experience. He is a novice and the new lion is the home horse. So I think this is a race to watch. I don't know if you've got a strong view on it, but I'm of the view, Tom, that it's a race to be watched, not punted on.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I think the little bit of snow or rain or whatever that's fallen has obviously come in Final Demand's favour as well. I think when you're looking at the longer range forecast and that was factored into the markets, that there was going to be drier and much more drying ground, there was a lot of support for the new line, and the new line about 48 hours ago actually went favourite, and they've obviously flipped back since. So that's a real positive, you know, and you just love this, don't you? They've spoken up these two novices so much, Kopech Desbordes and Final Demand. Kopech Desbordes did the business, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if Final Demand does it. He kind of has a little bit of everything. He can handle softer going. They suggest he's a stayer. His times from Limerick suggest very much otherwise, that he has enough pace. I spoke to Danny Mullins about him, and he said he actually has enough pace for a Supreme. So, if he's enough apparent stamina to do an Albert Bartlett on a pace for a Supreme, he should be spot on for this. And to be honest, I'd be quite strong in him, John.
Okay.
But
very good.
The Brown Advisory, though, again, will have another short price favourite. And, the question here with Ballyburn, I suppose, he's bred for it, but will he truly appreciate the 3 miles? You know, he definitely would have been about a twos-on favourite for the Turners as it was. It doesn't exist anymore. But what do you make of him?
I love Ballyburn. I think Ballyburn, for me, was the most impressive horse I saw at the festival last year. I love the way he stretched clear up the hill. I thought he was miles above anything that he faced last year. And people are trying to find holes in him. Like, he's 6-4 on. Just the other horse that's been back today is Cade de Bourbon into 16-1. That's the only other horse really receiving money. But Ballyburn is odds on. Once again, he's rated 8 pounds better than these. On the form book, he's the best rated horse in the race. He's the most impressive winner. Finished well to win at the Dublin Racing Festival. Obviously, he can be a bit keen. He needs to get into rhythm. But if he gets into a rhythm, and once again, there's only 7 runners in the field, a bit like Factify last year, he might have a bit of room. He remains to me the most classy horse in the race. This used to be a race when you had less races in the festival. You might have 15, 20 runners in the 3 mile. It used to be called the Sun Alliance. And sometimes it would go to, remember, like Nick Dundee, and you would have a horse called Looks Like Trouble, who'd go on to win a Gold Cup. Sometimes it'd be a race for Dara Stairs. Remember, a horse called R. Vic turned up in this race, didn't stay. Rule Supreme beat him in 2004. That's maybe the argument for thinking about some of these horses like Dancing City, that jumps, gallops, stays, and is a horse that he's not flashy, but he gets it done. And he won at 2 festivals last year as well. So I feel that he's a classic type for the race. If you feel that Ballyburn might have a few questions to answer, but for me, Ballyburn is the one to win.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think Ballyburn, if there is a hole to be found in him, Dancing City or Gorgeous Tom might be the pair to find it. But yeah, John, I agree. Like, if Ballyburn can stay, and it's one of those, even yesterday saw a few Willie Mullins horses were a little bit keen early in the races, but ultimately it didn't really make a difference. Like, Glossy Mouth was keen enough at times, Kopech Desbordes was keen enough early doors as well. But, you know, these tend to be truly run races, don't they? So that, I think that can be a little bit overplayed. And also, maybe Patrick Mullins mentions in his column today as well that fences kind of bring out the best in Ballyburn. Remember, in his hurdling days, he could get really keen and really, like, put his head down and fight the jockey. But, you know, an early fence, it just kind of makes him sit, makes him think, and just brings him back in his hocks a little bit. And, you know, that just can settle the horse down, and hopefully that'll work for Ballyburn today. Again, John, we only have 7 runners, so it's not really an each way bet, is it, to put horses up against him?
No, and better days ahead. We can't forget as well, one of the festival in the Martin Pipe last year. Like, he'll need every yard. You're going to love that hill. The problem with him is he going to be positioned, say, 2 fences out where he's going to be the position to challenge? If he is, he can win, because he's going to love that hill more than any other horse. I think Ballyburn is the class act. They're probably unsure. They're unsure if Ballyburn's a Gold Cup horse or if he's a champion chaser, right? They're not sure going forward, right? A bit like Ile France, they're not so sure about the trip. And that's the kind of the little bit of the question mark. Are you back in Ballyburn at odds on? You're not. So it's a race to be watched.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fair. That is fair. But I'm sure plenty of people be rolling up from Final Demand into Ballyburn and then John Bond as well, even with their fingers burnt yesterday. The Coral Cup is just one of the classics of the Cheltenham Festival. It's a race I personally love. It's one of those where you just comb over it and you can pick, as Johnny mentioned yesterday, you get five places, you pick five horses, and you could easily end up in a situation where none of them even finish in the first half. So what do you make of this one? And is there anything jumping out for you here?
There's a couple of horses that jump out, right? The first one is Sander Clegane for Paul Nolan of Wexford, who ran in the novice chase and ran well last year, but then kind of faded into fourth behind Factophile, and was also placed and then disqualified from the Albert Park novices hurdle, a grade one over 3 miles. What a punch to town. Like, this was a graded horse over hurdles, but probably just below top class. He's now running in the handicap his first time. I thought he ran well at Leopardstown recently enough. Obviously, he's carrying 11 stone eight. It is a lot. So he did catch my eye about 18 to 1. He's also drifting. He could be a 20 to 1 shot by the time we get going at 240. The other one, like, it's his first run of the season, and he's not Paul Tenen's pick, but Jimmy DeSoy, I tipped up last year in the race that Ballyburn won last year, the graded race over 2.5, the Final Demand race, as you call it this year. And he was second at 66 to 1. So Jimmy DeSoy, first run of the season, I don't know how well he's working at home and everything, but he could be somebody, if he's primed to go well today, that is definitely worth looking at. A lot of support behind Comfort Zone, obviously, given the way things are going with the JB McManus cutters at the moment. Mark Walsh rides that. I'm just going through the odds here at the moment as I speak, Tom. So be aware from Harry Skelton. Dan Skelton ran well at the course earlier this season. Be aware as a 4-1 favourite in Pose Trois, and Nico de Boinville rides him. He's 6-1 Comfort Zone, as I said, attracting money into eights and places. Beat the Bat is popular as well, as is Gibcott. And then of the bigger price, Samui's popular, and Minella Missile at a massive price of 40-1. So look, the JB McManus horses in Post Trois and Comfort Zone are popular. Be aware, Dan Skelton won the race last year with Langer Dan, but I'm going for the couple of Irish horses that I might think might be better than handicap class, probably in between handicap and graded, and there are Jimmy DeSoy and Sander Clegane, who's now 20-1. So I don't know what you think with that. I mean, look, it's not a race that you're going to make your fortune out of, but like a lot of bookmakers, including William Hill, are offering six places, so you're hoping that your horse will be in the first six.
Yeah, well, having needed all six places yesterday with Final Demand in my selection, I'll probably need at least six again today. Two that stood out for me, because there's quite a lot of support for Bunting, with Beckett Rock finished in front of him, finished just upsides him pretty much earlier on in the season. And so I just thought he might be one. Darrow Keefe rides for Henry de Bromhead. Another one that has some random enough kind of form lines is Colonel Mustard, who you wouldn't be thinking a horse is beaten in Sligo last year should be going and line up, but the horse they're beaten by was Solness, so that's turned out to be a decent bit of form. Lorna Fowler brought him over to Ascot. You know, he's run into lots of good horses over the years, brought him over to Ascot and actually finished in front of Golden Ace that day as well. So look, Colonel Mustard has nice little bits and pieces of form. Tiernan Power Roach is one of the most informed conditional claimers in Ireland at the moment. And yeah, look, he's 10 years of age, and it'll be nice for Lorna and Harry Fowler as well. I just think, again, 25-1. I think a few people obviously spotted that form line with Golden Ace, and he was nibbled at last night when people are looking around, but he has eased back out now to around about 25-1. But yeah, just thought Colonel Mustard could be one each way. And like I said, on a collateral line of form as well, Beckett Rock. But I wouldn't be surprised if Dan Skelton does it again either. He's quite the man with these handicaps, having won it the last 2 years with Langer Dan. John, at 3:20, then we have a totally different puzzle now with the cross country, don't we? Because, you know, it's now a handicap. The likes of Stumptown and Vanillier, in the past you would have said, oh, they'd perfect preparations the way they've done, but the way they've won, but you know, they've really gone up in the weights, the two of those in the Gavin Cromwell yard. Stumptown's been a sort of a long term favourite for this race. What do you make of it, or do you have a strong opinion?
Well, I think, Tom, that first of all, this race is not conventional when you need to analyse it. So the first thing about it is that often this race, they can kind of, they go along at their own pace, right? They go along at their own pace over the kind of the strange fences and hurdles as well. So I often find that this race almost finishes for a sprinter. I always remember Spot the Difference, that if you're in a certain position, then you can actually go for home and go for it. And that's why, like, Galvin, Delta Work, these horses have done so well in the past. So therefore, I feel that trying to analyze it, you need to be looking at horses that have run over the course before, have run over the course and distance before, and have performed over the course and distance. So any horse that is turning up here in the Banks race, for example, for the first time, or has not got experience at Punchestown at the Banks, I'd be putting the line through straight away. Stumptown is course and distance winner. Gavin Cromwell says he's been revitalized for the move to these kind of different conditions. And that gives him definitely a chance of making the frame and winning this. Like, he's quite short in the betting. He's 3-1 coming out of it. Just remember, he was second in a Jim Muir a few years ago. Mr. Coffee, a bit of money for him at 7-1. Busselton, I think this has been the plan for a while for Joseph O'Brien, 7-1 as well. Remember, the quarter of the cross-country course, so the ground might be a little bit better than it would be on the park track. The offer a bit of money for him into 10-1. Shambard, I love that horse. It's a little bit of a nibble for her. Galvin, was second in the race before. Vanillier, you can't rule out. He's got a nice weight for Sean Flanagan. But Stumptown, I suppose, sets the standard on form. But this, for me, is a race I just don't really like as a punting race. So I'm giving it over to you, Tom, to find us the winner, because I'm not so sure. Karen McLenergy will love the ground, but he didn't show any kind of form here the last time.
Yeah, I mean, if you follow Gordon Elliott on social media, you will realise that he seems to go cross-country schooling at least once a week. He's over in Sally Corscadden's, or he's over in Punchestown, or he travels over to Cheltenham all the time to use the Banks course over there. So that's one thing to note with Gordon Elliott's. They tend to be well schooled for this. The one thing I'd have against Gavin, he is now 11. Although, as you mentioned, this type of racing can often revitalise a horse. And look, he's obviously still well below his sort of ceiling rating. Stumptown for me is on the way up. Gavin Cromwell's yard is absolutely flying. You'd nearly feel bad for him, because it could end up in a situation where he ends up with a load of placed horses and might not have a winner. But you'd hope Stumptown. I think Stumptown can do this. He is probably one of the best riders on his back in Keith Donoghue, in that he's a horseman first and foremost, and he's just contorted his body, which is too big really to be a jockey, but he's contorted it into to be able to ride down at 11 stone. He's as good a horseman as you're ever going to find. Himself and Stumptown are a real match made in heaven, and I'd like to see the pair of them do the business for Gavin Cromwell. Like I said, he's been hitting the bar a little bit so far this week.
Yeah, well, the best of luck, and I'll be cheering you on, Tom, as well as Gavin Cromwell.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, we mentioned the Queen Mother. We have the Challenge Cup Handicap Chase. So this is an intriguing kind of a contest. It's the handicap here, but you know, you've got Unexpected Party, who won this last year, the Grand Annual. It's, for me, this kind of race is kind of tricky. You have the kind of top third of the market where the potential classy horses, there's some improvers down the bottom, and then a little bit of kind of, you know, ordinary stuff in the middle. Irish horses have a particularly poor record in handicap chases generally at the festival. What, do you like anything in particular in the Grand Annual, John?
I put up JPR 1, Tom. I think he's a class, like, he was declared for the Champion Chase and then taken out, and he's a class horse. He's been running graded races all throughout his career as a senior chaser. Now, he's got 12 stones, so he's got to beat the weight difference that is existing with all these other runners. But, like, the ground is in his favour. He's a good jumper. I think the Tizards did well yesterday. They did the Changing Man and did the second in the last race as well, so the yard is obviously in form. Brendan Powell rides. I think JPR 1 is a very solid horse, and don't be sometimes put off by a graded horse in a handicap, even if they're carrying top weight. I remember Mr. McGoldrick in this race years ago for Sue Smith was running in the Champion Chase and absolutely bolted up at 66-1. JPR 1 is only 8-1, but I think he's got an each way shout. Bit of money for him as well today. Bit of money for Primoz for Derek Fox. Obviously, Lucinda Russell had a great day yesterday. Unexpected Party's the favourite. Third time lucky, he's got support in the market, 16-18-1 in places. That's about it in terms of market movers. But my mate Mozzie is for Gavin Cromwell. Jazzy Matty would be an emotional winner, but JPR 1 for me. He's the class horse in the race. It's just whether he's enough class to beat the handicappers. Hopefully for me, he will. What about you?
Yeah, Jazzy Matty as well has actually, I think he's brilliant at time. His run at Cheltenham earlier on the season was brilliant. I couldn't really disagree too much there. You know, if you're going to take one from the top, I like Third Time Lucky, and also right down the bottom, Primoz. Unsurprisingly, there's been a bit of support, particularly on the back of that run yesterday, by Lucinda Russell's horse. And like Primoz, 10 stone 3 or something on his back. Like, I don't know, Derek Fox, I'd say he hasn't eaten since the week before last to get down to that kind of weight. So maybe that's a little clue in itself. He'll be delighted with the way the horses have run so far. He'd be annoyed himself. He didn't pick the winner yesterday. So, look, Derek Fox and Primoz, that'd be a nice winner for them. I wouldn't have a massively strong opinion on the race, but I would urge caution for people backing Irish trained horses in this race or handicap chases generally at the track. We don't have that great a record, and also the English handicapper tends to give us a little tax on top of the ratings as well.
Absolutely, yes. And also, you need to back good jumpers. If you make a mistake in this type of race, you're done.
Absolutely, absolutely. John, I remember a few years ago, we had Sir Gerhardt in the bumper, and I think it was a magical moment for yourself and Johnny Ward, who were having a tough enough week at the
Fernie
time.
Fernie
Hollow, not Sir Gerhardt. A magical moment for the Perry that day with Fernie Hollow. Willie Bullins, again, is mob-handed in this race. Copacabana's Fav Paddy Mullins rides that one, but he's plenty more in besides. What do you like in the bumper, John?
My nap of the day each way will be Calypso Chance, who's drifting actually. Never worried about that though with the Michael O'Leary colours, so they don't back. And he's 11-2 in places. Like, he's won his races at Punchestown and Town and Navan, and he's won them well. Jack Kennedy is excited about the ride. I spoke to him last week about it. And they had the third last year. They've never had the bumper winner, the O'Leary's. And Gordon Elliott is a very good trainer of bumper horses. Maybe he doesn't have the ammunition that Willie does, but a very good trainer of bumper horses. All the festivals you go to, and you see Jamie Codd riding a winner for Gordon Elliott and bumpers. So I think this guy is decent. Unbeaten, and I think he's a major chance of reaching the frame. And remember that Gordon Elliott had the second and third last year behind Willie Mullins. So do they know who the best Willie Mullins horse is in this? I'm not so sure. I mean, there is a lot of confidence behind Bambino Flyer, the mare. She flew home the last day at Leopardstown. She's been backed into 9-2. Jodie Townend, I do not believe, has had a festival winner. That'd be brilliant for the yard if it did happen. Look, Patrick Mullins has obviously gone for Copacabana, who's drifting a bit in the market. Game of Inches, Paul Townend's ride. Yeah, and then you have a lot of English horses, like, for example, No Drama This End and Fortune de Mer. I mean, with this bumper, often you can have a horse that might have one beside his name, and then, like, Hugh Carr turns out to be something amazing. But I do think the Irish horses, I think 25 of the 32 runnings have been going the way of the Irish. So I think Calypso's Chance each way is a solid each way bet for me, and hopefully he'll make the first three.
Yeah, that's the thing about this, isn't it, when in Irish versus English context. Also this race, I think they've had 7 favourites since the new year, so it just tells you. And I think there was a Willie Mullins with his sort of big Cheltenham preview morning, because he wanted to keep the yard clear for sort of the month beforehand, so there wasn't really visitors and people coming in and out. So I mean, 2 of those runners hadn't actually run yet and really come out and shown their class. He's got the likes of Aquaforce in there as well, who's snapped up by JP McManus. So he suggested he had some more bumper horses. It's just been such a strange year that, yes, these might turn out to be good, but I mean, 6-7 weeks ago, we didn't really know. I can see exactly where he come from. Calypso Chance, he's been there, done that. He has been one of the proper bumper horses this season, and yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him run well. There was a little bit of word for Copacabana before he made his debut, and then obviously once he went and did the business, it's been a fairly steady flow of money since, so you wouldn't put too many people off that. But yeah, I can see where you're going with Calypso Chance, and I think Bambino Fever is also the highest rated of the Willie Mullins runners. There was a weird thing as well with Jodie Townend wasn't actually able to ride in the National Hunt Chase because they haven't changed the rules back post-COVID. So I think she was supposed to have a ride in that, and it didn't work out. But yeah, I'd like to see Jodie have a winner with Bambino Fever. I still think Copacabana could be the best of Willie's.
But we'll see you on the shores of Brazil,
John. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We're keeping the puns going all week on this show. Right, John, crunch time. Best bet of the day.
My best bet of the day is Calypso Chance each way in the bumper for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy about 5:20. And in the Michael O'Leary colours, I think that you might be flying home if he wins. And I think he's a good each way bet to make the first three at least. Calypso Chance.
Good stuff. I'm going to keep it simple and go with Final Demand in the first. I think he's a cut above a lot of the novices. I think Final Demand will get the day off to the best possible start for favourite backers and Willie Mullins. And of course, they did it yesterday. They could do it again today. Anyway, we'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks, John. I hope the snow clears for you. And we'll be back again tomorrow with the Cheltenham Show in association with William Hill. Thanks, John. Go easy.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Proper value from a proper bookmaker. Every day at Cheltenham. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.